Listen up! We are orbiting the planet of Ithacon! In a few minutes, we'll board the shuttlecraft and proceed to target Area Delta! Our mission is search and destroy! I repeat, search and destroy!
As Shakespeare said, shit happens. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment, episode 244. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian. The next one needs to be Leprechaun Goes to the Dentist, Dunaway.
Nice. Hey, Commander Pike, or Dr. Evil, wizard dude, mostly in a tube. Where should we set up this tank of liquid nitrogen? In a broom closet next to the pilot seat, you say? Got it. Not a problem. Also, I think the Marines are down the Holden Bay playing Shrinky Dinks with that experimental matter resizer thing. Just FYI.
Well, not one of them, anyway. He experienced enlarging dink, or however you want to say it.
Right.
Also with us, Randy, I got Leprechaun in my PP Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
I really appreciate that you want to get out of here and go somewhere private to get it on. I'm thinking... this industrial hallway that's right outside the spaceship's discotheque is the perfect place to get comfortable and hold the phone. There's something coming out of my wang.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's that actor that played an Ewok. That's what's happening.
And it ain't pee-pee.
No. Finally with us, Brian, he will now tell you his amazing introductory comments, Ibbot.
It says in my contract that I might be required to do nudity. I demand that I get to do nudity, and I don't care how flimsily it's introduced into the story. I will do nudity. Yes. Nudity.
Yes. Yes. Look at my... If I show you my boobs, therefore I kill you. I thought the same thing. I'm like... like, why is she standing there flashing her boobs?
Yeah. Exactly. Also, it makes no sense. I want to assume that because the humanoid figure of that planet's people is identical to women in every way except for glitter paint, does that mean the baby is going to die because she flashes it to feed the baby when there's a baby?
Right. And
oh, my God, you just blew my mind.
See? You never have more than one child on that planet.
Right. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Yep.
There are some holes in this plot otherwise steel locked down perfectly.
That is the chink in the armor right there. You just discovered it.
I have been really excited to talk about this movie. What movie you say? Well, it's Leprechaun 4 in space, and Scott Fletcher has the rundown.
Leprechaun 4 in space. In this installment of the Leprechaun series, our hero travels into space and kidnaps an alien princess to marry so that he can share her royal title.
All right, that is the whole of it.
He meant royal titties.
Yes.
He said title, but I'm pretty sure that's not what he meant.
By the way, she's known for that lady. She's one of the red swimsuit wearing... Baywatch folks.
Rebecca Baywatch babe. Yeah,
so yeah. Much so that her bio picture on IMDb is just a Baywatch photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Hadn't done much else.
What's wrong with that?
Anybody watch that show? Like, Randy, you big fan of...
I saw some Baywatch.
All right.
Yeah.
Enough to wish you hadn't.
At one point in time, it was the most watched show in the world, right?
What?
In the entire world, correct.
Why? Really?
Yeah, at one point in time. Now, that's because you included all the other places in the world, not just here.
There were years when it was the number one show in the world because they were translating it into ridiculous languages. It was going out in 40 languages. It was stupid.
How hard do you think they really worked to translate it?
Yeah, right, exactly. Especially in Germany, because as we've learned from Norm Macdonald, Germans love David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
But you know what's weird about Baywatch being the most watched TV show in the world at whatever time? You never hear that claim about other shows. There's some show right now that's the most watched show in the world, but you never hear the claim.
Yeah, why is that? Right. Why is it that we don't hear that? That's a very good point. I never heard anybody mention. You always hear it about that. You hear it about. You always hear about something that's made in a bunch of languages. Like we had Friends, but then there was a Friends in India, Pakistan, and 20 other countries, and they all had their own cast and everything.
Do you think it just hasn't? Nothing's topped it. The number of people watching Baywatch is a record that still hasn't been topped by anything.
Or are we past a point where that can be like with the internet and stuff? It just doesn't matter anymore. Maybe
I think it's that shows are peaking and only for a little while. Like I think there's a time, like a few weeks every year, when the Eurovision show is the number one in the world, but it doesn't go on for 6 months, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Right. That makes sense. Well, what doesn't make sense is the plot of Leprechaun 4 in space. So previous to this, we saw Leprechaun 1, which featured, speaking of Friends, Jennifer Aniston. Didn't mean to make a transition there, but that was a bad movie, but it did feature a wonderful little clip, if I can find it. I know I put Daisy it somewhere Dukes. Handy. Maybe I didn't.
Welcome to the Vaxverse.
No, not that one.
Oh, yes. That's funny.
Wrong movie, but.
Oh, darn. Okay, sorry.
Let's see. It's the. You guys know the one. It's. Here it is. Oh, no, that's not it. Damn it. All right. Well, maybe I don't have it. Oh, no, here it is. Here you go.
Help. Help. It's happening.
Wasn't that from the first thing? Okay. So that's a great line. We're glad it happened. And in retrospect, Leprechaun 1 is more campy 80s movie than it is bad. At least compared to this. This is just really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost to that point where you start wondering, were they trying to be this bad? Like, were they making all of this?
I don't think you make a Leprechaun movie and expect that it's going to be
great.
Right, but there's a difference between hiring the world's worst costume designer and hiring a good costume designer and saying,
hey,
do this badly.
The world's worst.
It was pretty bad. I mean,
it was pretty good. What are you talking about? Commander Pike was looking.
All the people dressed in their stuff. Let's just break this down. What the movie's motifs are these. Bad fantasy queen costume. Everyone else looks like they're straight out of a Doom game. And remember, this is 96, so that would be about right.
Plus, even the audio, the Foley work for the doors sounded just like the Quake.
Oh, you're not kidding. You're absolutely not kidding. In fact, here you go. I have one. Do I have one? I know I have one.
I have one.
Here you go. This is what this sounds like. This is I wrote my description on this file as doom ass sounding doors. So here you go. That is so doomy, dude.
Yeah. Oh, it totally is.
Yeah. Doomy as crap. So I think there was a big influence there, and then you got kind of the aliens thing, and you got the guy, you know, constantly yelling, and you know, you'd almost expect him to be black and tell Hudson to stow that shit and then suck on a cigar or something. Like it's totally all those stereotypes. That's fine. Space princess, fine. Crazy bald German doctors, best part of the movie, fine. All that stuff is fine. What I don't understand is, why is there a leprechaun in the story? Like, there's no, this is the weirdest way to connect this.
Exactly. Here's what it feels like. It feels like they had this plan for a little monster movie, a little send up monster movie. And they shopped the script around, nothing. No one was biting it. And they said, well, what if we put the leprechaun in this and made it part of the leprechaun series?
Right.
Sure. Hey, we can do that.
I know Warwick Davis. I think we can talk him into it.
Where I don't think that is the case is when you look at the author, the writer of the thing, Dennis Pratt.
Yeah.
They give writing credits to whoever wrote the first movie, but the person who is co-credited, which means he wrote the majority of this movie, is this Dennis Pratt guy. You look at his list. This is what he does. Mm. You know, it's not like this is, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not like this was some happy accident.
No, it's not like, I'm between Schindler's List and this other great film. I need some work. And he made Leprechaun 4.
He wrote Kickboxer 3.
Right.
If he was involved with the other leprechauns, I'd say, oh, yeah, no doubt. You're dead on. You're right on the money, Randy. But, I mean, it is a whole bunch of other crap. And it could be just that he wrote a piece of crap sci-fi movie. And they tried to figure out how to make it happen. And the only way they could do it is
well, he's trying to break out of that leprechaun thing and just can't do it.
Well, this is where it started. And then you guys tell me if this sounds right. Here's a piece of trivia. According to Dave Trippett, Great name. The executive executive in charge of production on the first three movies. This film originally started out as a wholly separate, nothing connected to Leprechaun spoof of Apollo 13, which came out in 95.
Oh, no, they're just talking about the poster.
Oh, I thought it was the movie.
No, no, they did a spoof of the poster, the Apollo 13 poster, and replaced Tom Hanks' face with the leprechaun.
Right, but
I
then
didn't notice.
But this says, so according to this, it says a senior Trimark executive saw the promo art for Apollo 13, immediately had artwork made up, replacing Tom Hanks' face with the poster of the leprechaun's face, and this is what started them talking about a script to work on a film that
That's
was...
That's right. I forgot that I read that trivia, which discounts my whole theory. But, right. Yeah, okay.
But so still, just as crazy. Like, the idea that you could... I swear we just saw a movie recently on this show. Oh, I know. It was the Van Damme one. The right. Where he... Which one was that one? Shite. The post-apocalyptic one with the robot lady head.
And, Cyborg.
Okay, Cyborg. Cyborg started out as a sequel to... Oh, the He-Man sequel.
Oh, it was going
to
be the Masters of the Universe, right. And Spider-Man movie.
I think when that happens, like this is one of those cases where something kind of like that happened. We end up with a terrible movie, always. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit, I kind of had a good time here because anytime the German guy came on, I was riveted to anything he would say. He was awful, terrible character, awful makeup, but just this ridiculous over-the-top character. The guy with his face getting smashed by the pan. Like, there are moments in this that make it truly a great film sack movie, a great bad movie. There are lots of parts. There are lots of parts that don't. You know, I don't want to confuse anybody because there is plenty of poop.
You're dead on. I mean, we get no shortage of bad movies on the show. Mm-hmm. But there are bad movies that are difficult to watch, and then there are bad movies that are a lot more fun to watch. And this was one of those that surprisingly was actually kind of fun to watch. Bad movie, but I'd put it on in the same, I'd use the same scale as Troll 2 to describe it to somebody.
So in that case, since Randy's gone on record as saying Troll 2 is maybe one of his least liked movies on the show, how did this one land for you there, buddy?
I'll tell you in my Twitter post.
All right. Oh, really?
We're not going to wait.
I don't know what's going on. Every week, Scott accidentally preempts my greeting and now my Twitter post.
I'm not trying to, I promise.
It's amazing.
I promise I'm not trying to.
Blame me, because I was the one who brought up Troll 2, what it was.
It's interesting to me that what we're really talking about is a trope. Mm. Give me a trope of
All right, here's a big one. That's the same as always, but there it is.
It's the trope in space. Don't you love... when someone just takes something that's been earthbound or whatever and decides to make a movie in space. Well, like it's not at all endemic to this. We've actually, seen examples before, and I just think it's great. I want all crappy movies to go to space.
Mm. Right. Was this the first one that took one of our horror franchises and took it to space? Cause we know we watched Jason X, right? Didn't we watch that on here?
Yeah, we did.
We just watched Go to Hell.
No, we watched it.
That was after this.
Right. Yeah, it was 2001.
I don't think we've seen Go to Hell, have we? Gone to Hell.
We did.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
We saw Go to Hell.
All right.
There's I was doing some research because I was curious. I'm like, what other franchises branched out into space? And some of the ones I saw was Critters 4, which was kind of a cheat because Critters were aliens to begin with. Yeah. So, of course, it goes to space. There was Hellraiser 4. Bloodline.
Right. Yeah.
It went to
space. Go to space.
Whoa. Hold on a minute. For real?
Yep.
Oh, I'm all in on that. That's a great idea. I like that. Pinhead. Okay. So, so far you've mentioned the ones that I knew of and then a one I didn't know of. And now what else is there besides
this thing
Leprechaun?
Goes back.
Is there a Mortal Kombat that goes to space?
Right.
No.
Needs to be. But
50 years ago, Robinson Crusoe on Mars. That's an actual film.
What?
It's 50 years old.
That's amazing.
And we watched another one on here. Jean-Luc Picard was in space.
Indiana Jones versus the aliens.
All right, that one's kind of is in space, that one. All right, I got one that's coming up. I didn't know this was going to be set in space. There's that Con Air sequel that everybody's all excited about. That's set in space.
In space.
Yeah, Con Air director Simon West wants the sequel set in space. And then it says here, firstshowing.net. Going to space. And what's his name's in it again? Oh, gosh. Well, anyway.
Was there a Muppets in Space movie?
There is.
Yes.
Well, Pigs in Space.
Wait, there's a Muppets in Space movie.
There's a Muppets in Space.
Right, Muppets.
Yeah.
Muppets in Space, that's the one where Gonzo gets pulled, because Gonzo is an alien, basically, is what they reveal.
You're right. Muppets from Space is the title.
Right, right.
Okay. Gonzo is contacted by his alien family through his breakfast cereal. He is kidnapped,
right,
and it's up to Kermit and the gang to rescue Gonzo and help reunite him with his long-lost family. That, by the way, is not rated very well. That's one of the least favorites of the Muppets Muppet franchise.
It's okay. We had a little bit of Rizzo in that one. It was mostly the Gonzo-Rizzo show.
Yeah. Tell me if this doesn't make it, set it in its time. Your actors who showed up in it are, hold on a second, Frank Ozzie doesn't count. F. Murray Abraham, Jeffrey Tambor, Rob Schneider, Ray Liotta, David Arquette, Andy McDowell, nice, and Kathy Griffin. To me, that's a 90s ass piece of work right there.
Yes, that is totally.
Yeah.
All right. So around the table here,
yeah,
which movie franchise that did not have an in-space chapter,
did not go to space,
that did not have one, should have a blank in space?
Highlander, right, in, right, space.
So, okay. Now, if you stretch
is it Highlander 2 or Highlander 3? That one takes place, I guess it's in just space, in the future.
Right? Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
Future space. It's all the same.
No, it needs to be on a ship.
If you stretch the trope, yeah, it's possible to do a lot with it. Like, really, really stretch it. And you've got things like Fifth Element is Die Hard in space. And Star Trek, the 2009 Star Trek, is Top Gun in space. Mm. And that kind of thing. You can really do that.
Really, like to have seen Pirates of the Caribbean in space.
That was going to be mine.
Was it really?
Yes.
Perfect.
I'm trying to think. That would actually, I'd kind of be into that.
I would totally be into that.
So I want to give you an answer. I want to give you an answer that actually has possibility.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And that is, it's possible that there will be a third Machete movie, and it will be Machete in space.
So when we when we all go see Machete in space.
Yeah.
Machete. Yeah, right. Excuse me.
Machete.
Okay. Machete. you're telling that, you know what? That actually I could see that working.
Yeah, totally.
I think working. Randy's right. Also, I think we're owed a ship in space, long, you know, cold, lonely space ensemble Tarantino movie would be grand. I'm not saying it'd be a sequel, but I'm all into
Django,
like,
Unchained in space.
Yeah, but even like really, like Space Madness, the captain's losing it, and all the crews, this and that, like having Tarantino dialogue around a bunch of crew people trying to figure out space. That's,
well, you could get a Robert, was it Robert Rodriguez, and have Desperado in space.
Oh, that'd be all right. Mm-hmm. That would bring, you'd get
Space Desperado. Yeah.
Space Dorado. Come on.
Space Dorado.
That's how you say Space Dorito. What? Sorry.
By the way, I named a 50-year-old one. I got a 62-year-old one. Abbott and Costello Go to Mars is a real thing.
Oh, yep, that's an actual movie. Example. All right.
Sure.
And if I could maybe venture a prediction, there will have only ever been one great sequel that was an in-space movie, and that's Moonraker.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Good example.
That's true. That's where Jaws said words. Remember that? He spoke.
I'm surprised how much I've come to love that movie.
Well, also one of the most spoofed the James Bond movies too, though, right?
Yeah,
because
for
it's
sure.
Just ridiculous.
Well, it is kind of
so
ridiculous.
We could have an Austin Powers in space if Mike Myers ever decides to go back to doing those.
I don't think we're going to get him out again. I think he's done. He might do a little bit here and there. I get the
feeling. I think there's, you know what? There's probably Shrek stuff that still is in the works, because really is about his only cash cow right now.
Yeah, and it makes so much
money.
What
about My Wife is an Axe Murderer? What about, how they see that?
It's a great movie. I think one of the best things he's ever done. But
My Wife was an Axe Murderer in space. How about that?
Space.
Right.
So we totally haven't been elongating space, though. We got to really go space.
Space in space.
It's like the way Veronica says sausage, which I can't.
So print. I think Mike Myers has that older actor future where he comes back 30 years from now. And he's all, well, not 30, gosh.
Yeah, he's going to be like 70.
He's already, right, he's already, well, no, even more than that, he's already 52.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so I'm just going to predict that 10 years from now, he tries to be Robin Williams.
Oh, you know what? That's a good comparison. Or, like, you see, who was in Nebraska? I can think it was
Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern. Kind of quiet for a while, and then boom, there he is, right? I know, like, Tarantino snuck him into a couple things, but
yeah,
but really,
you could totally see him in like a, you know, family dramedy, right? That where he's like the the grandpa or something. And
right. Totally. And I like it.
The Peter Falk and Princess Bride kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. Yeah. I like it. I like that you can have, speaking of Peter, you can have Peter Fonda's dad, can't think of his name, Henry Fonda. You can have Henry Fonda show up and do a thing with his daughter at 1,000 years old or whatever he was then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that. Dust him off. Bring him out. You got Andy Taylor one last time in that Waitress movie. That was good.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So why not? Yeah, I'm all for this. Here's some more trivia for you. The only movie in the entire Leprechaun series, the venerable series, in which Leprechaun doesn't rhyme with the
title.
So I wanted to compare. Oh. I wanted to compare these.
What?
So here's the deal. Leprechaun 4 in Space is what that's called. Leprechaun.
Oh, see, I read that as he doesn't say any rhymes. Like, he doesn't say, like, a now is the time that you're going to die. I'm going to open the airlock and watch you bug eye.
Yes.
Watch
you fly. Exactly.
Is that what they're saying?
I think that's what they're saying.
But I think he did, though. I remember.
He's saying a song, as if that counts, but I don't think he actually.
No, that's a good point. Maybe he didn't. Okay, well, so that's really what they mean.
They were just really stretching for some trivia, weren't they? Anything.
So when they say the title, they didn't mean the title. This thing's wrong. The only movie in the series in which the Leprechaun doesn't rhyme is what they meant to say there. So, okay.
That's
so
what they said there. The only movie in the series in which the Leprechaun doesn't rhyme.
It says the title in mine. How did I get this?
Where do you see the word title? Are you looking at the trivia on?
No, it's in my notes. Here, I'll send you a link. Oh, there is no link. It's just text.
Oh, your notes say it.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure where you typed it.
I'm sure I did it wrong. No, there's no question I did it wrong, but I don't know why I would have done it wrong. Because now I look at it, it's like none of those titles
rhyme. It says it right here in my handwritten notes.
But didn't he? I swear he creeped around and said some rhymes like, "You're the space princess, and you'll be mine. What happened to the time?" or something like that.
I didn't catch that at all. If it ever happened.
Of the 17 characters listed in the end credits, only 5, including the computer voice, survived to the end of the film. Can I just make a comment about the computer voice real quick? Mm. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
It was
everything
the most.
This movie was terrible.
Right, but I know what they were trying to do there, and I love a good computer voice. I love the whole, you know, when chaos is happening and alarms are going off, and there's for some reason there's fog machines blowing down the hallways and blinking lights. I want to hear a voice go, 15 minutes to minimum safe distance.
Yeah.
Self-destruct code initiated. Like that kind of aloof Siri voice going on. That's always cool to me. Always a cool trope. But this guy sucked.
Yeah.
Well, this machine was run on a Windows machine anyway. So it's like
is that what it
DOS.
Was? Yeah. Windows 90, 95 it would have been. Yeah.
Right.
Windows 95.
Good. Nobody wants that.
It's funny because you look at Kevin Spacey and Moon and he delivers a more emotionally, you know, it's not a straight, like, you know, self-destruct in 8 minutes. It's, but he's actually talking like he's, you know, it is a Siri style inflection and ending the sentence with a period.
Well, it's like the interstellar robot things. They talk like that too.
Right.
Yeah. But those were like personality.
Mm-hmm. Those were way at the other end of end of the spectrum with the,
kind of bugged
sarcasm
me.
Bugged
me at first, liked it as the movie went along. Mm-hmm. I didn't like how they were shaped, how they moved, or how they talked at first. And then as the movie went along, I kind of started to draw.
And then about about two-thirds of the way through Interstellar, you're like, I'm 6 hours into this, and I love these robots. I wish it was all about robots. Can I just have a movie sequel only about the robots?
Yeah, please, but surprise, freaking Bourne Identity's in this. I don't care. I just want more robots. That's kind of how I felt. Yeah. That movie.
All right.
I don't know how I feel about
Christopher
that movie.
Nolan, you got indulgent.
A little bit. He did, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buddy, come Maybe on. Bit, yeah. Your other movies, Prestige, Inception, amazing standalone, not Batman movies. They're incredible. This one was, you know what? I liked it, but I did not walk out of there going, I have just seen the future of filmmaking at all.
It's not the only thing he does. Like Insomnia was also that indulgent.
Oh, I never saw that. That's a Robin Williams, other guy.
Yep.
Hoo-ha him. That guy.
Yep.
Al Pacino. That's right.
You know.
Hoo-ha guy.
He's not really saying hoo-ha, is he? He's saying hoo-ha.
He's not.
Hoo-ha.
All right. Well, I like
if I was
hoo-ha.
Half the man I was, I'd be taking a flamethrower to this place.
It's pretty good.
Insomnia is really cool because it's set in northern Alaska, where the sun never goes down, at a time of the year when the sun never goes down.
I need to watch
it. That's just a really cool setting that you never see in a movie.
His best. So let's. I know we're sidetracking, but can we just quickly best movie he ever made? Go. Let's start with Ibit. Best movie Christopher Nolan ever made.
Dark Knight.
Okay.
Yeah. Middle one. I really liked Inception, but I've got to go with the one that I enjoyed the most.
All right. Dunaway.
Yeah, I'm going to say Dark Knight.
Yeah.
What? No, you have to say something different.
No, oh, you can, I have to say something different.
You can say Dark Knight.
Y'all already picked the two best ones, so I guess I'll go with Memento because it's so stupid.
Yeah, that was so good.
It's stupid. It's not stupid.
No, it's fantastic.
That movie's really well made. What do you like, Randy?
I'll take Inception. I can't believe just how far Hans Zimmer got pushed in that movie. Like that, it just. Yeah. To this day, I'm shocked that in 2010, Hans Zimmer had something new that then made every movie for the next 3 years sound like it.
Yeah.
Wait, how come you won't let Dunaway take Inception after I say it, but you'll take it?
No, you said Dark Knight, I thought.
Yeah, I did say Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I did say Dark Knight. I'm going to change my Memento anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, I'm going to slip right in there and take the Dark Knight.
All right.
There
you go. You perfect. Take Dark Knight. Okay. He takes Memento. I was going to take Inception because I agree with what Randy says, but I'll go ahead and put the Batman versus Wolverine movie in there and say Prestige because I like that a lot, too. Okay.
You know, I'm coming around on Prestige. I didn't really like that movie because I saw The Illusionist first.
That's also really
like,
good.
I saw them back to back.
You can't see both. You can't see both. Yeah.
And I saw and I loved The Illusionist. And I felt like, so this is the other movie that one.
So if you saw, let's use the other great example, the ultimate example. If you saw Deep Impact before you saw Armageddon, would you end up liking Deep Impact more and think Armageddon was a poser?
I highly doubt it because Armageddon's so much better a movie.
Yeah.
But in this case, I really liked The Illusionist so much. And I had a hard time with The Prestige. Like, I just didn't want to like it as much. And then I saw it again later, like years later, and was like, oh, wow. I didn't even realize at the time it was a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah. It's
by the way, I just want to go back and backpedal on Memento because I did like Memento. But okay. I've watched it with someone who was not exactly, kept asking me questions the whole movie entire time. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, don't go with those people. Avoid those people.
Well, make sure you go with somebody who at least understands the concept that it's, in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're going to be asking you a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Now, wait, why doesn't he know that guy?
Yeah, what's going on?
They were just talking.
I don't associate with such
people. Why does he have tattoos?
I can't do it. If I'm not racist, whatever the word is where I discriminate against people, it's those people who I don't care what color, creed, or where they come from. If they're talking like that in a movie, I discriminate.
Speaking of racist, man, that sticks.
Hey, sticks. Okay.
His little slave impression.
Yeah, right. he was pretty bad. But okay, you can't say Sticks without us mentioning one thing important about this movie. There are two extreme doppelgangers in this movie. Mm. One is the guy that looks just like Christian Bale, drove me crazy the whole time. Doesn't act like him though. He's bad, but looks just like him. He died early. And then Stick, I think was his name.
Sticks.
It's just Stick, wasn't it? I thought it was just Stick.
Nope. I think it's plural Sticks.
It's Sticks.
Is it? Okay. He looks like that Chewy Ejiofor guy from 13 Years of Slave or whatever it is.
I didn't see that coming at all. Miguel
that's
Nunez.
That's not who I would have said.
He looked just like that guy.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Miguel
about
Nunez, I know him pretty well.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, because one, I lived in a household that watched every episode of China Beach. And so to me, he was the guy from China Beach.
Mm.
And then two, he has this really, really memorable line in Harlem Nights. Mm. And that stuck with me. So the instant he started talking in this movie, I'm like, I actually know an actor from this movie.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Right. I loved him from, I watched Joey, the whole series, the Friends spinoff.
You watched the whole series of Joey, the whole year, 12 episodes?
The whole year I did. And he was in there and he was Joey's friend guy thing.
It's Zach, 16 episodes, Brian.
16 episodes. But you know what? Joey was worth it to see Dre DiMatteo and the blonde gal from Better Off Ted.
Oh, she's great. Yeah, I like her.
She's great.
Except for she was in that Road Trip movie where she pooped on a guy. That was gross.
Yeah.
Do you remember? You know the one I'm talking about? What was that called? It was an Amish bunch of Amish people in it. I can't remember.
You're talking about Kingpin?
No. It was something. It was
Witness. You're talking about Witness, Scott. Witness. Right?
Witness. It's absolutely Witness. That's what it is.
John Book, 4 a.m. Time for milking. No, it was something else. Crap, I can't remember. What was that
Road
called?
Trip movie with a lot of Amish in it where she pooped on a guy.
It pooped on a guy. Yeah, it's called. I'm going to find it now because now there's no turning back. All right. So
while you're doing that, I'm going to talk about the other doppelganger for me anyway.
Okay.
Was Metalhead, right? Tim Colcheri, who played the guy with the steel plate in his head.
Oh, I'd love to know more about him.
The guy who looked like Aaron Eckhart.
Oh yeah,
that's funny. Right, he did look like Aaron Eckhart, but not enough that it bugged me.
He was like No. He was like the strange baby born between an unholy union between Aaron Eckhart and the guy that used to host the Soup before the guy with the strike in his hair took over.
Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear. They look like a Greg Kinnear.
If you draw a line from Greg Kinnear Town to Aaron Eckhartville. He's that place where you stop to get gas.
Yes. That's one. Okay. So this movie, I want to tell you this movie real quick. It is called, it can't be that. Sex Drive. 2008 Sex Drive. She played a character called Brandy, and she's with the kid who's the intern on The Office, that actor, the hot tub time machine, Josh
Clark
Zuckerman,
Duke.
Is it?
No, Clark Duke.
Clark
right?
Duke. That's it. Mm-hmm. Oh, what an unfortunate name when you're getting duked on. Anyway, he was in a scene where this was the farmer's daughter, and he was all excited, and then she tried to take a big loaf on him. Oh, it was really gross. It's a gross movie. I don't recommend
it. Why aren't we watching that for this show?
It's gross.
It's not
because
good.
We had to get Leprechaun 4 out of the way.
Yeah. A really low rent TNA movie that doesn't actually have any TNA.
It's not very good. It's
so
kind of terrible.
The reason to watch Joey was Jennifer Coolidge. And Jennifer Coolidge is also the reason to watch Two Broke Girls. She's also the reason to watch pretty much anything she's in.
Yeah.
Right. She steals the show. I absolutely think
46 episodes? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It did not.
No, it did 16. It did two seasons or
it
something.
It says Joey on IMDb is telling me this. I'm reading says Joey 2004 to 2006. Cow. There was 46 episodes.
Yeah, because there are 24 episodes per season, so it makes sense.
Right. Joey lasted longer than Firefly?
Yeah. Tell me what's wrong with that picture. Everything.
Right.
Damn it. Don't remind me. Shite. Speaking of Chewy to Edgitafor, he was great in Firefly. All right, or in Serenity. Anyway, moving on. This movie, it's got a leprechaun in it. I like this trope. Here's one.
Mushgrove.
Whoops, trope. There's always a Kowalski. And every movie ever made with
right.
space.
In a certain time frame, and especially when it's a group of militaristic people.
Yep.
Yeah. Marines.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kowalski, not get up front.
Right. But not just in name, but also the type of character he is, where he's like the full on, like, you know, I'm Marines first, right? You know, like.
Yep. I looked the guy up because I was thinking, did they put a prosthetic on his face to make him look like a bulldog?
Yeah.
Like he looks all scruffy and he's an ugly man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just thought like, no, but you look him up. He actually looks like he does in this movie.
Yeah.
The one that was supposed to be good looking just creeped me out. Like nobody looked
Brian
good.
Brian Bosworth meets, speaking of Serenity, the Baldwin.
Oh yeah. Adam Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin.
Yeah.
If you look at his photos,
he's real life super dick about Adam Baldwin. Yeah.
Kowalski.
We're still talking about Tim Colcheri. No, that's
Mel. No, we're talking about Jeff Mead.
I got you.
You know, Jeff Mead. You know,
Jeff Mead.
You're really funny too when you go through all the different actors in here and see, what else are they known for? You're thinking like it's going to be stuff like the aforementioned Kickboxer 3 and Chucky 7 or whatever. But this guy was in Little Miss Sunshine. One of the other guys was in Saving Private Ryan. Another person was in.
But I just want to be clear. Jeff Mead has the perfect face for playing a demon in Supernatural. Like, that's what he's slated for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can see that.
A lot of these guys went on to do a lot of TV, looks like. You know, SVU, episode 5 of season 4.
You know what? That's a step up from this movie.
Yeah, I don't think this is a movie that you go on to do things from. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, if this was made today, it would be solid Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. Or Liquid Sci-Fi Channel, one of the two. So I'm looking at the cast. Who's their German guy? Is that guy? No. Is that
That's
guy center?
Yeah, and he was actually, he's known the world over for his betrayal of Lieutenant Gruber, one of the original enduring characters of 90 episodes of Allo, Allo.
Yeah.
Which is the most successful comedy series BBC. I've never seen it.
I remember it, but he's Lost Highway is an okay movie. Ironclad's okay in 2011. Like, he's not done terrible things. He's been in some stuff.
Mm-hmm. He was in Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
He played the harbor master. I don't remember who that was.
He was the guy who mastered the harbor.
Yeah. Nah. He is Man Ray in SpongeBob SquarePants, which is a villain, right? Isn't that a villain?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He has a great voice for that.
Yeah.
He's a Star Trek connection later. Yep.
He's got some stuff. My point is, I think he's the best thing about the movie almost entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of my clips have mostly something to do with him.
Just his delivery, his Colonel Klink delivery.
It was great.
By the way, and I'm trying to see if there's a screenshot of this online, but did you guys notice the Millennium Falcon?
No, what?
I did not see the Millennium Falcon. I did. What was that at?
It was stuck to the wall right before they start praying in the cargo hold as they're flying down to the planet.
Okay, wait. Million?
Okay, okay, right. Well, I didn't see that part because I'm a very penitent man and I was bowing my head, so that's the reason why I missed it.
way to mix your movies. Let's see, Leprechaun 4. Okay, I'm going to find this.
I'm going to try and take a screenshot because I wrote down the timestamp.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
On what, pray tell, did you write down the timestamp?
In OneNote.
On your hand? Okay.
You use OneNote while you're watching a movie?
I do, yeah.
I cannot believe this is in there.
It's on my iPad.
I'm dying to see this.
Okay, here we go. All right.
Was it out in space? It was out flying in space.
No. It was stuck to the wall of the ship as their...
It's a toy.
It's the toy. Yeah. So here we go.
I'm
going to paste it in Skype, and we can make sure to put this on the... on the site, on the blog, when we
right,
and you know that there was no great
internal
shots of the outside with stars. Oh, I see it.
Oh my
gosh, awesome.
That's crazy.
It's kind of like in carbonite.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like been spray painted, and
would they think they were honoring George Lucas with that? Like, what were they doing?
Know.
Oh, that's funny.
I freaking know.
Well, anyway.
Oh, there's a second one up above the guy's head.
Yeah.
Or it's the bottom. They just bought the model and they stuck one half down there and stuck the other half up top.
So what you're saying is the two universes are shared. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right, yes. This takes place in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Great. Great. Nice catch. I had no idea that was in there. I don't know why. I guess I wasn't paying attention to the very bad scenery otherwise that was everywhere.
Can I get a trope in?
You can get a trope in. Here you go.
It's the obvious not ever going to say that word. Why don't anybody ever call him a leprechaun? This whole movie, once does anybody point and say, have you noticed you're wearing a green suit and a leprechaun hat and you look like a leprechaun, Mr. Leprechaun?
Why? Why do you suppose, now that I think about it, and I don't remember exactly, but I don't think anyone called him that in the first one either. I think they're just treating him like, it's almost
just
like he's
case.
Coke, but you can't say the name or Coke will sue you or something. Is there some leprechaun?
Yeah, there's no, you're not going to get sued by Ireland for calling something a leprechaun.
Right. I wonder if they just were nervous about, you know, the title, just in case they decided to call it Trolls 3 or something. Maybe
they're
worried.
They did it. Like, not Glasgow, someone, some big city is going to call from Ireland and go, listen here. We're going to sue you.
The term leprechaun.
That's right. We're suing you to hell and back, you bastards. Where'd you put those guns? All right. Let's see. What else? Randy, you were going to say something.
I was going to compare it to zombie movies where they refuse to say the word zombie.
Oh, good point. They want to call them walkers or something else. Yeah.
And that's it. That's actually made fun of in Shaun of the Dead where one of them says, we're not using the Z word.
Yeah.
Or he says the Z word.
Do you guys like the super pervy doctor? He was a pervert.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Harold. I love Harold. He was my favorite.
He didn't pass
pretty
muster.
Severe one, too.
Yeah.
Like
real bad. Creepy. Like
my favorite Harold was when he finally revealed his true form as a garbage pail kid when he got smacked in the face. My favorite part.
Right. So out of place to have
somebody's death look like that and everybody else's kind of be like, oh, you know, neck sawed off or fall and splat. Why didn't the woman who fell off the bridge after holding herself up with one finger,
Debbie
which
Dunning
was freaking
from Tool Time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know that was, right? That was Debbie Dunning.
I did not know that, but yeah. But I don't doubt it.
I just put in the chat a link to a Dropbox file that you should all enjoy. It's a picture of that happening. Now, as soon as I put that on Twitter, the entire reply stream was, hey, how did Odo or Rene mm-hmm. Auberginois end up in your movie? Which is bad to say, I think. It, that he looks
it
like
is.
That.
This is, it's the perfect example of a trope.
Yeah, for sure. Hold on.
It's the trope of the bloodless carnage. There's so much carnage and no blood in this movie.
Yep.
And it's like things like a leprechaun emerged from a dude's wang. Like, you would think there would just be blood splattering everywhere, but this movie doesn't want to show you any gore or any real gore.
Are you telling me that Kenny Baker or a small man of that stature wouldn't make it through your urethra? Because I thought that was pretty realistic that you could fit in.
Totally on board with that.
Yeah. Even a small child could just fly out of your wiener. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It was terrible because now I don't even want to get started on like some of those effects. Like when he was blown apart and then came back together to kill the lady. Mm-hmm. Who right, was right. Guys, Lawnmower Man won the Oscar compared to you. It was really bad.
Yeah.
What was this? 97?
Six.
96, 97. Yeah. And so, yeah, there should have been a lot better graphics on this, but it was pretty bad.
I think so. I don't know. I'm trying to remember anything else from the mid to late 90s, 96, 97, that looked real good. I mean, most of it was kind of bad because we weren't quite there yet. Jurassic Park was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years away. You had like
96.
Oh yeah,
Jurassic
so that would have been
happened.
Oh, you're right. Oh, never mind. They had no excuse.
Exactly.
That's a good example right there.
I'm thinking 86.
They
yeah.
Used, they
had
maybe
no
they should have used the Unix system instead of that stupid DOS box they had.
That was pretty good.
What's the
password? Try scientist. What was the passwords they were trying? It was ridiculous.
Yeah. You just got my favorite trope in the movie.
Give
man.
It to us. Wait, hold on. I got it. Here.
My scrote.
Oh, damn it. There.
Guess the password. Yeah. Oh, what a trope.
Yeah.
I want a list of movies with the guess the password trope because it's so fun.
I hate
now, them. If they would have tried, well, try 1, 2, 3, 4. Nope, try 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That would have been funny, and that would have still fit within the style of the movie.
Yeah, but they weren't doing
we're locked out now.
They weren't doing a parody here. They were clearly trying to make a movie that, on limited budget with crappy direction and all the other stuff, and they know the subject matter is stupid and ridiculous, but they were still straight-facing it. Like, nothing felt tongue-in-cheek to me in this movie.
Okay, I want to go around the table because I love this trope so much. Not counting Spaceballs, name a great movie that's got to guess the password trope.
Great movie.
Password? I don't know. I think this kind of comes into the whole. I think it crosses over very closely with the hacking. And
we had
my favorite.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. I was gonna say my favorite, of course, is Jurassic Park when Samuel Jackson is trying to get rid of the hacker shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I hate this hacker shit. Yeah.
Didn't we had it just recently on that episode of the X-Files that we watched for film set, didn't we?
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, if we're doing just hacking, I like 3PO trying to shut down the garbage compactors.
Shut them all down.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's a brute force attack.
Yeah, that's brute force. You're right. It's not the same. Like guessing the password or saying, well, what do you think the password is? It happens so often. I can't think of a good movie other than what you've mentioned that uses it. I know there's millions, but I can't think of any.
I mean, we've seen it together in Battlefield Earth. We saw it in Wrath of Khan. Search for
what
Spock had another one.
Password? Wrath of Khan?
In Wrath of Khan, if a Federation starship gets a particular prefix code, it can make another Federation starship lower its shields, right?
Oh, right.
So they only get one crack at the code.
Right, they sent it over. That's when he turned around and looked at Spock and pretended and whispered.
Yeah.
And said, okay, send over the thing. And you got Ricardo Montalban going, I am waiting, Captain, sitting in
the
chair.
There's a scene in Hangover Part 2 where they're trying to guess Chow's overseas bank account password, and they knew that it right. used to be baloney, so they try baloney one.
Well, see, they at least know how to laugh at it.
We watched it in War Games too with dude's son.
There you go. There you go. That's one. Like today, it doesn't work as well because back then we didn't know what passwords and encryption and being safe and having good strong passwords and double authentication. All this stuff didn't exist. So today you do it and it looks so bad because you're like, oh, this really expensive.
But how would it be if you did it? If you did it for reals, though, what if you had a movie where someone's trying to hack your Blizzard account and you have to do the authenticator thing? What do you do?
You do a phishing. You make a little phishing story. You say, all right, guys, to get this password, we're going to have to email this dude to make him think we're PayPal or whatever and get his info that way. And let's see if we can get his mom to cough up his birth city.
God, that would be the most boring thing in the world to watch. I'm going back.
You could montage it.
I found a website. It is part of the TV Tropes that actually lists all of these, and it's stuff like, let's see, it was one we were just talking about, hackers, where they guess that the word is password. in GoldenEye, the guy says that his password is with a riddle where it says you sit on it, but you can't take it with you, and James Bond figures it out that it's chair.
Oh, great.
Battlefield Earth, The Departed, the password to a file about an undercover police operation is the first and last name of the cop that is undercover.
Oh my gosh. Nice. Scorsese, dude. Yeah. He shouldn't have done that.
Would you like to guess what Lois Lane's computer password is in Superman Returns?
Hold on, go. Hold on, don't say it yet.
I love that movie.
Don't say it yet. I don't want to guess. Or let me think about it, then let's see if Randy says the same thing. All right, go, Randy. What do you think?
Superman.
It is Superman.
Is it really? I was thinking Clark, but that's ridiculous.
By the way, I'm the only person in the world who loves that movie.
What, with the Returns?
Yeah, I think
Superman
you are.
Returns.
Yeah, you are the only one that loves it. Okay, you're the only one. There's one of you.
Yeah, me. I'm seriously, like, I Brandon Ruth, call me.
Yeah. He's busy being the Atom now or whatever, right? Isn't that his new job on Flash? He's the Atom.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, he's the Atom on there. You should watch that. And he's getting a spinoff. He's getting his own spinoff show. So, Brandon Routh coming back.
Wow.
I'm not sorry to say. I just don't really pay attention to DC stuff.
Oh,
it has to.
Those shows are so good, though.
They're really good.
Flash and Arrow, definitely worth binge watching and catching up on. And Brandon Routh plays a very superhero-y kind of comic booky character in it. Like he's
outside of Daredevil, they're owning TV right now. DC is.
They really are. Right. Yeah. And Gotham's great.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much Constantine.
Yeah. Well, that may just be a network who doesn't want to give it the chance it needs, but
right.
I don't know. Point is
Brian makes a point.
That's the point. What else? Totally you guys got anything else? Any other notes of thoughts about the shit ball movie?
Why do you store acid and vats of water right next to each other? Was
I
that a good idea?
Man.
That was not a good idea. How did you know that was water in that? And you know, some acids don't like water. So
why do you store acid at all?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, on the ship. Yeah. Why would they need that on the ship? Yeah, they never got into that. They never got
it.
Oh,
it was like the 1,000 pounds of chloroform last week. Just like why?
Oh, I'll tell you what they got me with: the grinding up a scorpion and a big spider in a shake, like in a drink.
Yeah, in the same blender we have.
That really grosses me out.
Right.
Like that really gets me. Not because I know what they're putting in or that they're going to inject it. That stuff's fine. Don't care. What got me was seeing the blue milk or whatever it was in there in the first place. With DNA, he said.
Right. Her DNA.
Yeah, her blue DNA. Her blue DNA. Anyway, then they put in the spider and they grind it up. They turns it on, and you see. Right. I know it's not a real spider in there, but whatever was in there gets ground up, and you see those bits flying through the semi-translucent blue milk.
You don't know. This was 96, 97. You don't know.
That grossed me out.
Could have been spiders.
Could have been. You think they were the animal people were like, yeah, just go ahead. It's a spider. Go ahead and just grind it up. Maybe.
You know, the biggest thing that bothered me in this movie.
I think it was a brownie.
I mean, because I already knew it was going to be a stupid movie as it was. It bothered me that their space tumblers that they were drinking from still had the UPC stickers halfway peeled off in the bottom in one scene. That got on my nerves.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think that Six says more about you, buddy. That says more about you. I like it though. All right. Well, let's. If there's nothing else, let's play some clips.
Speaking of the tumblers,
yeah.
Why did they have so many? Why did they have 25 tables in that disco when there's only 17 people on the ship?
Yeah, good question.
What I mean, how do you get a discotheque on a spaceship in the first place? Like that's it's ridiculous how big how much room you have to allot to this useless space.
Yeah,
it's just not. Right. It's not even remotely possible.
The holodeck has it right. Star Trek has it right. You need to. That needs right? to be virtual space, not real space.
Well, but it's well, see, but the Enterprise is a massive ship, so yeah. 10 forward is not that much compared to the rest of the ship.
That's true.
And also, it's got a huge crew, so they're over 1,000 people, right?
Right.
This everybody could sit at one table in this place.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if there's some Doctor Who-isms going on here because they did have a shrink ray. So I mean, there's the possibilities. Really
oh yeah.
Could be explained.
And, okay. I forgot about the shrink ray. You know what? This movie sucks.
It's so awful.
that was the catalyst for you. That yeah. was like that was the right. straw.
You know, there's always a little you know dirt at the top of the mountain that will if you just put a little extra on there, it's going to start the thing falling over. And that was it. All right, I'm going to play some clips. Here are a series of them, and there are actually quite a few because this thing is an audio banquet. Here's you heard this already.
Search and destroy.
That guy's yeah. Oh gosh, dang it! What's happening?
Oh, he's swatting you with a fence.
Oh, wait, was that some...
I don't know
some,
what that was.
He just drew a Z on you.
Fruit Ninja, what we got over there? Some little...
It did know. Sound like Fruit Ninja, that's right.
I don't yeah. know why
It sounded
that
like
played.
Someone launched a bunch of lemons.
I don't know why that played. I apologize. All right, here you go. Here's a good one.
I'm looking for Sergeant Hooker.
Oh, you found him. I'm busy. What the f*** do you want?
Yeah, you found him. What the f*** do you want?
I'm busy. What the f*** do you want?
All right, great.
So angry.
He's super angry. I loved his portrayal, though. It was over the top in the same way yeah. the German guy was. That was great. What's this?
Bullshit!
Oh.
Bullshit!
Lots of angry acting.
Yeah, he was great. All right, here's your 10 seconds of your first German taste of the German man. Here you go.
Dr. Reeves is the ship's biological officer and my personal assistant. You will see to it that she is protected at all times.
Dude, that is so great.
So I wonder if he uses the same voice as the harbor master in Pirates.
Oh, that's a good question.
You will park your boat over there on the slip.
It is one of my favorite accents. I love a fake German accent like nothing else. Here's the what? Oh, here's the leprechaun.
Good evening. An angel's voice sends pleasure to every part of my being.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
the screaming in this movie.
Yeah, some good stuff. Some pretty tight.
This is the first screaming. Thing that I had seen Debbie Dunning after a Tool Time. What's the name of the real stupid show? What's the name?
Home it's Improvement.
Home Improvement. Time.
Yeah. Home Improvement.
Oh, you know what? You just said this earlier in the show, but now I know which character you're talking about. She was the one that was on the show with him.
She was the tool lady like that wasn't, what's her face?
Right.
Pam Anderson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
No, she was Baywatch connection.
No, mm-hmm. She was
probably how she got this job.
She's okay. Yeah. I mean, she's very pretty and seems like she can act. I think this is just a bad movie to be in. You know, I don't think there's anything about her performance that made me go, "Ooh, she's the worst thing in this." In fact, maybe she was one of the better things in it. Here's I don't know.
A little of the bubbly to put us on more friendly terms.
Ugh. I thought he was Irish, first of all.
Yeah, right?
The bubble.
His accent went all over the place.
I've been hanging out with the German guy too long.
I don't even know if they even filmed
now
him.
Now all of a sudden I sound like Christoph Waltz.
Listen.
I kept getting this weird feeling that they did all of his stuff outside of filming with the other actors. Because I don't remember seeing him with them a lot.
Yeah,
when they were in like a green screen situation.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Oh, we haven't even talked about the spider transformation and that whole thing. The spider guy, that was great. So bad. Here's a good prayer for you. A little prayer in your movie.
Oh, Lord, be with us as we hunt down this ungodly son of a bitch who's out there waiting for us and give us the strength to kill anything in our path and may all our wounds be thine of flesh wounds only. Amen.
Oh, gosh, dang it.
That's right. And when you see the Millennium Falcon pieces taped to the side of the ship.
That's what it was? Yeah.
That's when it was.
Yep.
Man.
For those of you who want to go and look for it, it's 7 minutes, about 7 minutes into the film. You see an exterior shot of the spaceship, and then you see them inside it.
You know what took something that surprised me? I was doing an image search a while ago for this Millennium Falcon sighting you saw while you were looking it up, and you found it before I did. But I noticed a kind of inordinate amount of Google image results that show Millennium Falcon shaped neighborhoods from Google Maps views. Like if you search for Google Maps Millennium Falcon, there's just a people pointing out that, oh, look at this neighborhood. Looks like the Millennium Falcon. Look at this neighborhood. They look like top down schematics, but it's really like, you know, a suburban neighborhood. Really weird. More than I expected. That's all. Weird. Not that I expected it.
I have to Google this too.
Yeah, you may have to look
it up. If you Bing search Leprechaun 4, you get lots of boobs.
Do you really?
Boobs.
Bing seems interested in, that's how they get you.
Yeah.
The results are, yeah.
Bing.
Bing is going that way. Bing,
we have nipples.
Yeah. I think they've always been a little bit that way.
Looking for porn? We're your place.
Yeah. I kind of want to be the place to go. Oh. All right. Here's your, what am I doing here? Okay. Here's some Detroit smack talk. I think that's also a bit of a trope. It's like everyone gives crap to Detroit. There's just no way around it.
Real vacation spot.
I've seen worse. You ever been to Detroit?
Detroit, even worse. Detroit.
Into Detroit.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Want to be rich?
I'll make you rich beyond your wildest dreams.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Oh, that put me under there.
So basically, he just wanted everybody off the ship so that he could, or off the planet, so that he could just be with the woman, right? Or be off the ship so that he could be with the princess, right?
Yeah, he wanted to inherit her world. Yeah,
so he could have just used the airlock and gotten everybody else sucked out of the ship in about 2 minutes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He has magic. I don't understand why he was using his guns.
His practical effects.
Yeah. True story.
This movie doesn't make any sense. I mean, it really, when you make less sense than Sharknado.
Yeah.
Right.
This one's titled Harold is Busy.
Harold.
I'm busy.
Oh, I guess Harold's busy.
There you go.
All right. I'm not reading this one because I think it's a quote from the thing. So here it is.
Hey, don't touch me unless you mean it, cowboy.
Ew, you creepy dude. He was willing to do whatever with anybody, man.
He pretty much was, yeah. I've been out in space a long time.
It's one of my favorite moments in the whole thing.
Hurry up, dickhead. Get this stuff secured so I can go get drunk.
I love it. I love it. That guy's as two-dimensional as you can be in a movie. And he was my second favorite. Him and the German. Those are the two I like.
Yeah. Especially when he's in drag. We didn't even bring up his little drag dance scene.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Right before he died, right?
Yes, because drag is always funny.
Yeah, always funny to see a man in a dress.
Yes.
Can't beat it. All right, I know they were making a joke here, but it still bugged me, so here it is.
Nobody leaves this ship unless I so say.
Unless I so say.
So say. Say. So.
Then he fixed it.
You think that was intentional?
Yeah, because right after he corrected himself.
Oh, said, he's doing his right. Yeah, okay, yeah.
He got it backwards.
Yeah, his little, he's glitching. His system is glitching.
Because, Brian, next to men in dresses, the second funniest thing is people with dyslexia. So they've got two.
German accents and dyslexia.
Yeah,
dyslexia.
There you go. Perfect. All right, how about this one?
Shake hands with the big guy.
That's the next time I'm with my wife, I'm going to say, honey. Shake hands with the big guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Where is he? Because he's not in front of me.
It's a terrible thing to say to anyone about grab my wiener. It's terrible.
It really is. Yeah.
Well, what do you expect when you're having sex out in the bathroom, essentially? Right? Know what you're doing, basically?
Yeah.
It was like they just went through some doors. Oh, this is far enough.
Yeah. This here in the hallway where people enter this room.
Exactly.
Yeah. Next to the waste disposal acid unit.
Yep. Well, here's some advice from the leprechaun about that. So keep this in mind.
Always wear a prophylactic.
Just say rubber. No one says rubber anymore.
Wait a minute. The guy got infected with leprechaun dick by peeing on the body of the leprechaun.
Right.
Why would you wear a prophylactic when you have to pee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
makes no sense.
They're trying to be funny. They're like,
I think he meant. When you have a leprechaun traveling through your urethra trying to get out,
yeah,
right.
That's when you want to wear the prophylactic.
That would have worked, too.
That makes no sense. I can't believe it. This movie has a scene that makes no sense.
You would have to have industrial freaking condom to make that work.
Yeah.
From my experience. All right, here's I don't know.
It's alive!
Oh, okay. Steal that from every movie ever made.
Mm.
All right, some German.
It is not impossible. Her tissues have regenerated. It is not impossible.
I love it.
It's so over the top.
I love it.
Yeah.
He was clearly told what to do, so he did what he had to do. And you got to give the guy props. He's got some of the craziest, like, makeup and, like, appliances stuck on him and stuff. Like, it's kind of an impressive performance given the circumstances.
Yeah, and they clearly made the movie in, like, 3 days, first takes only.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right. His hind view, which was like a robotic head and shoulder thing, had a big seam in it, and it kept opening, and you're like, oh, guys, right. Come on.
Spend a little added money. To the creepiness of this. Yeah. I thought that was one thing they did right. It reminded me of those movies from 70s and 80s that were low budget that kind of did this.
He had a Dune vibe to him, didn't he? A little bit.
Mm-hmm, he did.
A little bit like Dune. All right, here's
a lot like Total Recall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Very much like the 2 weeks.
Totally.
Total Recall lady. Yep.
Love that lady. Here's some music that's really bad. Here's your bad music in the movie. Well, somebody brought out the MIDI machine that day.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
I'm sorry.
What,
though? Do you have an appointment?
Oh, I just captured that because I like that guy.
I was thinking, you know what, though? That music would have been absolutely great in like a space RTS video game in like the early 90s.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Felt like they kind of, like, but then...
Like Wing Commander, said, dude, like Wing Commander. That's what that
okay, yeah, there you go. Because like, I say early 90s because Total Annihilation came along and the music was beautiful and luscious and... You know, like music got really good, but before that.
Yeah, before that, when things were bad. How about angry acting?
Listen, you little pencil neck geek! You give me the doctor now before I jerk out your teeth and shut down your throat!
Jeez.
Wow.
All you have to do is get rid of them.
Beyond angry acting.
Yeah.
Listen, you little pencil neck geek!
I like that one.
Frank Siegley, I had to look it up just to see. Frank Siegley is the special effects coordinator on this film. Yeah. Also special effects coordinator for Lawnmower Man.
Oh.
No, well, get out.
Now it explains why some of that felt really familiar to me.
Right, exactly.
It's very much.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Critters 3 we haven't seen.
The guy's like, I've got my Amiga in the back of my car.
I've got my own special Philadelphia
Experiment
studio.
2, which we haven't seen. Yeah. Night of the Demons 2, Dumb and Dumber, Leprechaun 3. Halloween, Curse of Michael Myers. There's got to be something else in here we've seen. Maybe not.
Dumb and Dumber. What do you do on that job? What effects did they have? I'm trying to remember. The bird? He made a little
the
fake
bird.
He made a little fake bird.
Yep. Tooth, maybe?
That Harold Christmas killed or whatever?
Keeping their horrible hair going?
I guess. Like,
right. No, the chipped tooth, by the way, Dunaway, is Jim Carrey's actual chipped tooth. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just pull out the appliance that just got stuck in there.
Yeah. Those are weird.
Looks like nothing else that we've seen, sadly. Aww. But it's plenty of stuff that it looks like we should see.
Well, maybe there's something
ILM
in the future.
ILM here to take care of your special effects needs. Yep. No, not industrial lights and magic.
Yep.
Leprechaun magic.
I got a clip of Brian Ibbett in high school. He was on a date with a girl. Prom, we think, may have been homecoming. And she thought she was being all funny in the car. And Brian looked at her stony-faced and said this.
I'll do the jokes.
There you go.
I thought of Brian Ibbett a lot. I think it's because he's bald.
Because he's bald. Yeah, because in every other way, he's just like Brian Ibbett.
Just like
more crazy German.
So, I am not what you expected. No matter. Don't look quite so horrified, Doctor. I'm still the same seductively brilliant and powerful man I was before. Rather like the Wizard of Oz, I always think.
Sink and Wizard? Come on. Come on, man. All right, we're doing it for Kowalski.
I'm doing this for Kowalski.
Okay, good, because we are too.
That's a keeper.
Yep.
I'm doing this for Kowalski.
She was not good, that extra lady with the fake boobs. All right, here's
she was the slutty extra lady, right?
Yeah, the one that saw the wiener explode with a guy coming out of it. Boner maker.
I'm the one that gave him the boner doll.
Forget about it. Kowalski would have wanted it that way.
Yeah, he would have wanted it that way. He would have wanted a leprechaun coming out of his unit. That's great. All right, some more.
You.
German laugh, okay, and there's another one. I like both those a lot. Okay, Brian Dunaway, here you go, buddy. He's one of your favorites. You ready?
Do it.
Okay.
I don't give a damn if she the queen of soul.
There you go.
Jeez.
I don't give a damn if the queen of soul.
I so want to just like spend the whole movie repeating everything he says because it's so jive.
Yeah, he's no good. All right,
I've got enough lines.
I have two more, and then we're done here. Dying computer man sounds. I just captured this because I thought they were weird. So here you go. Isn't that weird? It's so weird.
We'll just record you going, and then we'll slow it down.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Done.
And then my final one says, "This is surely believable." I don't know why I wrote that. So here you go.
Shut your cake-hole, you oozing great zit.
There you go.
Oozing great zit.
Oozing great zit. Notice I didn't capture a lot of Leprechaun because his lines sucked. They were all dumb.
They really did.
And it was like he mailed it in. Like every line was just Warwick Davis. Just like he didn't put any pizzazz on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. When he finally got off the ship and he made that deal with the captain said,
"What kind of a deal?"
All right, great.
Yeah.
Just need an excuse. That's it for clips. That means we're ready for this. It's time for the Film Sack checklist. It starts like this. This could have been any space creature, but sure, go with a leprechaun. Check. Should have been more gory. Check. I did want to mention that earlier. Not gory enough. People weren't dying in horrible ways. That bugged me.
Right. Right.
Like, get gross with it. You're going to be rated R. Just go for it.
The guy, you know, getting the pan lid stuck to his head, you know, flattened his head, could have been perfect practical effects of a, you know, watermelon splat kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. They made it cartoony instead. I expected to hear, mar, mar, mar.
Oh, no, not again.
Hogan? All right. And then you got Retrograde is Jealous. Check. All right. Star Trek stuff. We got Jessica Collins as Tina. She played Linus Paris in the episode Before and After in Voyager. Guy Sinner, Dr. Mittenhand. He played... played Malcolm Reed's father, Stuart Reed, in the episode Silent Enemy on Enterprise. And then finally, Jeff Mead played Kowalski in Enterprise, played Dehan in his real form in the episode 2 Days and 2 Nights.
2 Days.
Surprised how many connections there were. Soundtrack great. I'd give it a DTM for Doom 2 MIDI. That's about what it reminded me of. And now, your chance, you three, to sum it up in 140 characters or less. This is the Twitter post, and it starts with Randy.
Leprechaun 4 in space. Not the worst movie you'll ever see, so long as you've seen Troll 2. And I hereby challenge all comers to watch them both again and prove me wrong.
Yay! Wait, I thought your Twitter thing was going to be how if you liked the movie or not. Oh, I guess that was kind of, yeah. I guess it kind of was. All right. No, you're right. I expect for some reason in my head, we just go, I hated it, and then be the end of it. All right, Brian Dunaway.
Leprechaun 4 in space. Like smoking a cigarette another Marine kept behind his ear all day. Gross. This whole movie.
Yeah, gross. I'm with you. Brian Ibbett.
Leprechaun 4 in space. It's just like Jeff Goldblum's The Fly in that it's an hour and 35 minutes long and it's streaming on Netflix. Otherwise, pretty different.
Help me.
Wrong one, but yes.
Right.
Look at this, guys. Hold on. I don't have paper to fake it. All right, I just handed this list of things, these alternate titles. Number one, don't pee in the eviscerated corpse of a leprechaun. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Or the only thing more fake than this makeup is the German accent. All right, we got an email I would like to read and a phone call. We got emails.
Hold on, email?
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, unfold that one.
Yeah. This is, they come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. This one says, hey, Scott, sorry I couldn't find another email for FilmSack. He sent this to my main email. He says, hopefully this will find its way to you guys. Randy spent a lot of time during the Karate Kid 2 episode talking about the issues of Mulan. It's not a whole sentence or another title. It's just Mulan the movie and there's issues with it. But he missed the biggest issue in the movie. The whole sacrifice Mulan makes is completely unnecessary. Yeah. She steps in so her father won't have to go to war since he has a bad leg. This is all noble and stuff, but only if you ignore a lot of information the movie gives us. Mulan's father is an experienced veteran, is permanently injured, is very wealthy, and is a war hero. It's incredibly unlikely that he'd ever see combat again with his experience and status in society. He'd almost certainly be taken on as a high-ranking officer of some sort. Mulan didn't need to take his place. He was never actually in any danger at all. This has bothered me since I saw the movie as an adult. Sorry about how long this was. Love the show, though. Lily. Well, Lily, yeah, we don't disagree, I don't think. I think that's true.
And I just, like, point. I don't want us to, like, sack Mulan is what I'm getting at. Like, for me, it was watching this movie through the eyes of my five-year-old, and I'm going, whoa, misogyny. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's mm-hmm. a totally different thing.
I agree.
I'll find some tropes for
There's
you.
Fun in there. Like, there's fun to be had in that movie. I like it in a lot of ways, but yeah. And not only this, let's say he wasn't poor or even higher up. He's too injured to go to war. He's useless to the army. It isn't like she needed to go. There doesn't need to be someone in his place. They're not going to take him. So you don't have to, there's not like a hole that has to be filled. She didn't need to go at all. It's dumb. But there you have it.
But
how would
then
she...
we wouldn't have had Eddie Murphy as the funny dragon.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have had Donny Osmond singing that song.
Right.
Rump the bird. I don't know the song, but whatever it was.
It goes just like that, though.
Yeah, wow. That was amazing.
Impressive. Okay, we got a call. This phone number is the one you use to call us. Leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462.
Hold on. We got a call.
Oh, thank you. Do you get a phone call? Okay. Here is something about kids.
Hey, guys. This is Patrick in Conrad, Montana. I'm calling about my favorite show, Film Sack. I've been with you since episode 2, and I love the work you do. So I was traveling with my kids, and I was looking through old episodes that I hadn't finished, and I came across the Philadelphia Experiment, and I found out I didn't finish it because you guys said boobs like 50 times in 2 minutes, so I had to turn it off. Anyway, appreciate your hard work. And I also would wonder if Randy would give his opinion on McAllen 12-year-old. I treated myself to it and didn't think it was very good. Thanks. Keep it up.
I'm sorry about this episode we're recording right now because we have gone as blue as we've ever gone.
Have we?
The last hour.
Yeah, we've a lot of boobs mentioned in this episode.
Right.
And curse words and so on.
Yeah. We've never, we're PG-13. And that maybe we inched a little. We never F-bomb it. We get a little close to the edge sometimes, but we try.
Right. Here's the thing. Your kids will grow up. The show never will.
Right. That's a very good point. All right. Well, there you go. That's emails. That's calls.
The McAllen has gone downhill. I'm disappointed in the McAllen. And I say that as someone who first tried his very first scotch, like single malt scotch had never crossed my mind until I was 22. And a professor of mine in college had this annual scotch tasting and he bought a very expensive bottle of 20-year-old McAllen. And you could have just the smallest sip to find out whether or not you like scotch. And that was it for me. I'm done. I'm drinking scotch the rest of my life. And it's just gone downhill. The McAllen, it's not bad. Like if you got $200 to spend on a bottle of old scotch, the McAllen, whatever, 21 will do you right. But the 12 is now determined to be a cheap daily drinker, and it's just not that good.
So what's interesting? I'd never heard the name before. So. But is it known? I mean, do people think it's great now? Like,
their older issue is amazing.
Okay.
And yeah, it used to be one of those things. It's like, oh, you want a scotch? You want a Glenmorangie or a McAllen 12? You know, it's like.
So it's reputation. Right? My point is its reputation continues to precede it, even though it doesn't deserve it anymore, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
That's the case. Yeah, that's the case in a lot of things like scotch. You have to try them every year to find out if they're still any good.
Makes sense. Well, there you go. Some education, everybody, about the world of scotch. Go scotch tasting. You have to lick a Scotsman. That's what that is.
That's right. That's right. Right on the bum.
I like it. Right on the bum. Our next film is Escape from Alcatraz. No, it's not. Hold on.
It's The Punisher.
It's The Punisher from 2004. Punisher. Why did I copy that out? All right. Punisher, 2004. That's the next movie. That's got a hung in it. Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's hung, isn't he? I mean, sorry.
He's
in the show Hung on HBO. Yeah, that's him.
Wow, we just got a perfect tweet for Scott Proclaims right there.
You're not kidding. Very much looking forward to this because I don't remember a thing about it. We're inundated with Marvel stuff now, and it'd be fun to go back to an old one that is not considered very good and also have some fun with it. So looking forward to that. Punisher from 2004.
It's got Ben Foster and Will Patton,
John
and
Travolta.
Roy Scheider.
Is Travolta in this one?
Yep. Yes, he is the
Rebecca
bad guy.
Rebecca Romaine.
Okay. Roe, really?
Yes.
Was she a Stamos then or just a Romaine?
No, Dolph Lundgren.
Oh.
It's not that one.
Was she a that's the one we really want, but that's not streaming.
Right.
It's got Kevin Big Daddy Cool Diesel as a heavy.
Hold on a second. Is Rebecca Romaine Stamos? Was she still a Stamos? She would have been in 04, right?
Probably, yeah. They just, you know, once they change that in IMDb, it's retroactive, so it goes back and changes it for all of her previous appearances.
Like it never existed.
That's right.
Wow.
Wiped from her life and from her IMDb record.
Everywhere you go. All right, great. That's it.
By the way, also look for in Punisher when you're watching it this week, look for John Panette. Rest in peace.
Weird.
Oh, I love John Panette.
Yeah. All right. John Panette just died.
Yeah, last year.
Long ago.
Yeah, last year. Yeah. Pretty recent. We talked about him on here, I think. All right. Well, there you go. Filmsack.com is our website. You might be familiar with websites. You go there, filmsack.com. You'll find things. You can sign up for the blog and then hang out and talk. And we love that. So keep that coming. Again, our voicemails come to 801-471-0462. Email us filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, follow the show @filmsack. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next time.
Oh, I got to go drain the lizard.
Ew. Gross. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Oh, yeah.